Close your eyes. Imagine that you are in a field. A field full of little yellow flowers. Each of these flowers is a galaxy. And each of those galaxies is full of our love for you. Welcome to Sound Mind. I'm Justin Haas. This is Stevie D. We're here to speak into your ear holes about music. And philosophy.
Your ear holes.
Right into those freaking holes where your ears are.
Yeah. So.
So how's it been?
It's been good. It's been good, man. Mm-hmm. Busy, mm-hmm. as usual, but good.
Yeah, we've been seeing a lot of each other recently.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a rumor on the street that you guys were recording with some kind of like Wizard Genie production guy.
Yeah, some Wizard Genie production guy known... Also known on the street as Stevie D.
Oh, I've been exposed. Yeah. I was just kidding about that, but...
Yeah, I could make some kind of exposure joke, but...
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah.
So we did that last weekend.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got 4 tracks done. Somehow. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was close. Yeah, time-wise, for sure. But.
Yeah, we put in, geez, how much time do you think we put in?
22 hours,
did
maybe?
Did you count it up?
I did a guesstimate the other day. I think it's around 22, because we did 1 8-hour, at least, and then 1 6-hour, and then another, like, 6-hour.
Yeah.
So, maybe not quite 22, but it was around there.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
But.
Yeah. So, maybe you've this second recording session for you.
Yeah.
And first one didn't go so good.
Nope.
Yeah. You want to elaborate?
Well, man, I don't know. It was just, we were really excited as a band. And then we recorded. We recorded and then we got it back and we were like, oh. That was pretty much it. You could smell the discouragement in the air. And then we never really fully recovered from that, I would say, until we recorded again this last weekend.
That's awesome.
Which was a bolstering. There was a bolstering there. We got our little sandbags, and we shored up our defenses. A little bit. So 4 of our somewhat ambitious 14-track project. So.
Awesome.
Yeah, which is quite a few.
Yeah. Have you talked to anybody in the band since we recorded?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a group on Messenger, and we talk almost every day.
Nice.
But, yeah, we all listen to the tracks, and... My perception is that everybody's really happy with it. One of the tracks, a couple people have said it's kind of busy with the vocals, but I'm fully confident that we'll hear the final product and we'll be like, just right. It's just right.
Which one?
It's the ending of The Floor.
Uh-huh.
I think just The Floor in general, because it has 3 different vocal parts. Mm-hmm. But they don't happen all at the same time until the end.
Right.
So.
I was listening to that again this morning, and I just feel like.
I think it needs it.
I do, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you were like, it's a big risk. But when I was listening, I was like, I think it's a cutting edge kind of a risk that sounds pretty dope.
Yeah. It's got this kind of build quality. It's not just like there's 3 vocal tracks happening in the entire song.
Yeah.
It's like they're kind of interspersed, and then they come together at the end.
Yeah.
So I think it works, but. I think it's like this coordinated chaos that really is good. But I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it sounds great. So basically there's the lead vocals happening throughout the songs into the verses, and this part's a bridge, right?
Yeah, so it's like the part with the 3 vocals is the very end of the bridge.
Yeah. So the lead vocalist goes into this phrase and then stops, and then you hear this other melodic female vocal come in with this more ambient type of melody.
Yeah.
And then lead vocal comes back in.
Yeah.
And then there's a space of just instrumental. And then when they come back in, the lead vocal's coming in and that melodic vocal's happening underneath.
Yeah.
Throughout the rhythm.
Yeah.
Of the other vocal. And then on the third pass, this other high scream comes in.
Yeah, kind of offsetting. So like in the gaps of the lead vocal, it's doing some stuff.
Yeah. With that other ambient melodic thing happening. So three vocals doing three different things all at the same time.
Yeah.
You guys are going to want to check it out when that song comes
out.
It's
just like a wall of just like a coordinated wall.
Yeah.
It's like a wall with a mosaic on it.
Yeah. Know? Yeah.
And then you just get crushed by it.
I've never mixed anything like that before, so it's exciting. And your band's One Small Army.
Yep.
Look them up.
Osmarmy for short.
What?
Osmarmy.
Osmarmy?
Osmarmy.
Osmarmy. That's hard.
I'll work on that one.
That's hard to say.
Yeah.
So then what's the hope time-wise? What we're thinking, like 8, 12 weeks, somewhere in there before the masters of this last project, the four songs, drop?
Yeah, I would hope so. So I want to put these four out and then finish up the rest of the project and then put the whole thing out.
Yeah.
I don't want to do like that breadcrumb trail thing per se. Maybe a couple, but for the most part, I think we'll do these four because three of these four are very old songs. Like we've been working on them for a long time. And so I think that will, you know, help just your brain. Because like when you work on a song for so long, like the first one that we did, The Floor, it has more iterations than any other song I've written. It was 8 minutes originally, and it was like a progressive metal song. And I didn't really feel like that fit what it was trying to be. Like generally we tend to be more messy. Like metal is typically really technical and like super coordinated. Like, the harmonies have to be like exact, like they start and stop at the exact same millisecond. We're a little bit more emotion forward as opposed to metal forward, I would say. So, in the same way, I think another great example is for like kind of our vibe is like Emery or Under Oath, because they're tight, but it's heavy, but it's supposed to be loud, not super technical, if that makes sense. So there's more of an emphasis on that side of it.
Yeah, no, I think that's more emotional as opposed to technical, even though the technical's happening, but the priority is the feel over the technique.
We go for mouth feel.
Yeah. I think my favorite music actually is, I think music is, it's meant to be felt first.
Yeah.
You know. So if you take the feeling out, I don't care how technical it is, it's not as appealing to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot
I mean, I could be like, oh man, that guy's killing it, and appreciate like him as a musician, but not leave going, man, that song, I feel different.
Yeah.
You know, I want to think about life different, or, you know.
I totally know what you mean.
Yeah.
It's super interesting how that has always existed. And I think that your example is like completely accurate, because there's all these guitarists that everybody's like, oh, they're such a good guitarist, but they can't name like a whole lot of songs from them, because as a musician, they don't capture their attention.
Right.
In the same way. Oh, maybe I should say as an artist, because their musicianship is up to par, definitely.
Yeah.
But it's like they don't portray like that emotional.
Right. Are you playing from your soul, or are you playing from your memory?
Right.
You know. And I mean, obviously you got to do both, but hopefully it came from your soul originally, and you can reconnect to that when you play it.
Because you have to be able to remember your parts when you play it live.
Yeah. Yeah, so I was at this jazz concert one time, and there were several jazz bands there. And I remember this was like one of those moments when this really hit me. two different sets, two different saxophone players, two different sounds. But I remember this one saxophone player was just ridiculous technical, ridiculous technique, a lot cleaner of a sound. And he was in this solo where he's just all over the place, you know, but in time, you know, the whole range of that saxophone playing, you know, everything you could think of that worked with what was happening underneath. And I was sitting back listening, really appreciating that moment. And then there was this other set, and this guy, very technical as well, but I just felt like every note he played was like, it was like he was just dripping his heart out, you know. It was a dirtier sound for the most part. He played a lot of clean notes as well, but there was a lot of rasp and, you know, grit on the sax. And when he did his solo, it was just like, I just felt like he was like confessing, you know, almost like pouring out the heartbreak, the joy, the sadness, the disappointment, all of it through the solo. And I was like, I'll take that any day of the week.
Yeah.
There's a power in vulnerability.
Yeah.
In, you know, there's a power in vulnerability anyway, but in music, it's like, it's crazy.
Somehow I just got a hair in my mouth.
Yeah. It's probably from all the hair on your face.
That's probably true. It's probably beard hair.
So, talking to the guys, happy with the project, but like, you know, I guess first off, you know, how was it for you? You want to like talk about the experience, and I don't know if you processed that at all.
It was good. We moved at a really brisk pace, which was nice. There were a few frustrating moments. It's bound to happen on some level eventually. But I think what was frustrating about it is, you know, it's like we plan to record, you know, 3 months out, because I was like, that gives everybody plenty of time to like plan their weekend, like move things around. So that was interesting. Yeah.
Because that didn't totally happen.
It didn't totally happen, but it came together. I'm hoping that next time it's a little more punctual, a little more, as a whole, everybody's more prepared. Because there were a few songs where we went to record, and then we were like, it's all written, but I've never heard the vocal part to this song. The one in particular, you know the one I'm talking about. So, like, we were figuring out, we were on a time crunch, and we were trying to figure out the vocal part. I had another hair in my mouth. What is happening? We were figuring out kind of on the fly, because I was playing backup to him, and I'm like, I can't really back up what I don't know yet. And, so that was interesting. But I feel like it ended well. I'm going to give it a little bit of time before I listen to it again, because I might listen to it and be like, oh, it's garbage, which is going to suck for me. But, yeah, I mean, as in general, I feel like I'm pretty hard on our stuff in general. So I might end up overreacting a little bit, and then I'll calm down and then it'll be fine. But, yeah, in general, I think our music is really interesting. And so hearing it come together in a produced environment was really cool, because I was like, this is what I imagined, you know?
Right.
And like, there's so many times where I've been like, let's not do that. Let's make it a little more palatable or whatever. And then just for the sake of trying, we would try stuff, you know, because we're here in the studio, let's give it a shot. And it ended up, to me, sounding better. So it was kind of validating in that sense, because it was those things that I had planned years ago on whatever draft of whatever song, going, that would sound dope. And then imagining it without having like a super good way of communicating what I wanted to the other band members. But when you're in the studio, it's very easy to pick apart.
Right, because you can hear everything.
Yeah.
At equal spaces, too.
Yeah, we need a whiteboard, I think. I keep saying that to myself, because I'm like, where is our whiteboard? If we had a whiteboard, I could be like, okay, this measure, boom, This is what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And we could write stuff out on the fly. So I need to remember to get one of those. But yeah, I think it went really well. I'm hoping that it goes better next time. Because there were a few situations where, because of the time crunch, I wouldn't say that we sacrificed anything in the moment, but there's a certain thing that comes out when you have time, right? And I don't, you know, it's very hypothetical, but I don't know if we sacrificed some of that because of that time crunch. Right. So hopefully next time, you know, as a whole, the band is more really just prepared to give up their time.
Yeah.
And I get it. It's tough. But to me, it's really fun. So it's not like it, and it's tiring emotionally, because you play through, like, if you don't nail a part, you just keep playing it until you nail it. And then you're like, when will this end? This could go on forever.
Which,
you know?
Is, yeah, which is funny, because I feel like you were like, if you had to do three takes, you're like, sorry, guys. Like, this is taking me forever.
Yeah.
That's that OCD-ness coming out.
Yeah, because usually it's like every single part that I'm a part of, I have it mapped out in my brain beforehand. I don't like to just improv. That's not my thing. Like every little tiny thing, I know what I'm doing. And then if I don't do it that exact same way, it's like, oh, that's wrong.
Right.
And even if it's not bad, you know what I mean? So, yeah, right. So that takes a little bit of a perspective shift.
Yeah, we had that experience yesterday where we were doing some overdubs, and one of your guitar parts, he had, you were supposed to descend, I think, an interval at a certain part. And
yeah.
He was supposed to go from the higher note down to a lower note, but you went from the lower note up to the higher note.
Yeah.
Which sounded fine.
Yeah.
It was great in context, but
yeah.
To you, you were like, no, it's supposed to go down right there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, yeah. And the weird thing is, I don't even remember doing that. Like, I don't remember deciding to do that when we were recording. It just happened, and I didn't even notice until I listened back to it later, and I was like, well, butts.
It's like when you're punching a phone number in, and you hit the third number before the second one. You know, you just get ahead of yourself.
Yeah.
It's easy to notice when you're making a phone call, because your call doesn't go through, but, yeah.
Yeah, production-wise, it was interesting, too, because That's just that thing, is like you don't notice, partly because there's so many parts, because we had 9 drum mics. Yeah?
I think 10 if you count the room mic that we put in the hallway.
Oh, yeah. So there was 10 mics for the drums, and then obviously one for each guitar. The bass was direct in, but it was obviously a track, and then vocal.
Yep.
And so all together, that's a ton of tracks.
Yeah, so we had 10 on the drums, 1 on each guitar, 1 on the bass. I stereo DI'd the keyboard. I didn't even think about that. So 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. 15 on a first pass.
Wow.
So that's pretty cool. We can do 15 channels. It was cool, too. They all got to be in the same room at the same time.
Yeah.
That was cool, like,
yeah,
to see that. So I mic'd. We used 2 of our recording booths. Well, 1 recording booth, 1 closet space.
Yeah.
To do the guitars, and then track the drums in the main room. And then everybody else, you know, was DI, bass, keyboard. And then you guys could be out here. Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, that was really cool. Yeah. It was a good experience, definitely.
I think it's probably easier for you guys as a band to, you know what I mean, be able to see each other and, you know, gel with the song.
Yeah, and it's funny because you're playing it, you're in it, you look over, you're watching how someone else plays the riff, and you're like, bro, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this to me? And it's not the riff. Because that was fun, too. But, yeah, it was a really good experience, and I'm excited to do the rest of it. Like I said, it's really ambitious, the album as a whole. Like, we wrote, I want to say 4, like, mostly instrumental, kind of, we call them palate cleansers. to just kind of space between, and most of them are like under a minute, but so we got four of those and then 10 like full length tracks.
And then you have those like dispersed throughout the project.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Kind of like between, a lot of them are, really chill. I think three of the four are just really emotional and just like really like, kind of the opposite, because the idea was, you know, we've got really intense tracks, and then we have these palate cleansers like right afterward, mm-hmm. and it's like a completely stripped down, like, antithesis of what just happened, pretty much.
Right.
And so we've got, well, one technically isn't between; it kind of leads into the first track. So the one's kind of the intro, mm-hmm. and then we got three more throughout. Nice. Yeah, I'm excited.
So you said like that you had a bunch of or four of the songs. I think you said four of the songs. It doesn't really matter the number, but there's an amount of songs on the project that are fairly old.
Yeah.
So yeah, old. How long?
Oh my god. So the first one that we wrote, it's even like hard to say this honestly. The first one that we wrote, it wasn't completed, but when we first started the writing process, it was 10 years ago.
Whoa.
I was a wee lad. Yeah. I was 15. And I just had this, like, I don't even know how to explain it, but it was just like I had this idea where, and it's gone through a lot of iterations since then. But basically this idea that there would be like this two-note thing that would continue through the whole song. And that changed. But it was just that bump, 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 bump. It was, the idea was it was kind of like a heartbeat sound.
Yeah.
And it would just continue through the whole song. We realized really quickly that that was boring.
Right. It gets mundane.
It gets mundane. So we highlighted three sections and we were like, this is the part where we're going to go into the bump bumps. And but yeah, that song, this is like the third or fourth iteration of that song. Like I said earlier, it was a progressive metal song originally. It was like 8 minutes long.
Yeah.
It was, the bridge was more than twice as long as what it was. Mm-hmm. It was like a really slow build and it just kind of went on forever. And I liked that, but I wanted something more concise. So we eventually cut it down to what it is now, which is like 5 minutes. So 8 to 5, that's a pretty big cut. We cut tons of stuff. And my lyric ability was not as good back then, for sure. So that's kind of embarrassing. And I kept dropping hints to Chris. I was like, you know, if you wanted to change those verse lyrics, that's fine, man. And he's like, no, I like them. And
you wrote
like,
the whole thing?
No, Chris wrote his part on the bridge, mm-hmm. Which is, I think, the best part. It's kind of funny because, like, as a teenager, I was writing from, like, this super, like, hopeless thing. So, like, the song is basically about, like, giving up, you know, and just being, like, faced with, you know, because I was, like, I don't know, nihilistic. I don't know if you want to say nihilistic is the right word, but just, like, I don't know. To me, it was, like, life's full of pain. People suck.
Man.
It's like retarded.
That's how a lot of 15-year-old kids feel.
Yeah, and so I was writing kind of out of that, and so basically I wrote all these lyrics about how life is terrible, and life is essentially for me meaningless. And then Chris comes in and he writes this bridge that's like, actually no, like I am going to. The wording of it is important, but basically he is going to capture something and he's going to make it his own and something good is going to come out of it. And that completely changed the way the song was because it didn't have, like, the bridge is pretty uplifting. Mm-hmm. The way it sounds like even the chords when we wrote them going up, mm-hmm. for the first part because we were like, this is kind of like a reclaiming to mm-hmm. some degree. And so, yeah, so he wrote those lyrics. We wrote the bridge. Yeah, but that was his lyrical contribution, was the bridge there. And then, yeah.
So
it's old.
So you're 15 years old.
Yeah.
Are you playing with any of these guys
that are in the band? Just Josh.
All right, so you and Josh.
Just Josh.
And how old was Josh?
15 as well, yeah. I think. Well, okay, so that's not actually true. I played with a lot of them, like 15, 16, but it was like separate.
Yeah.
So like I would play with Josh, I would play with Noah, I would play with Chris. Well, Chris was later, but I would play with each of them. And then I kind of just like shoved them together like, now we're a band. And they were like, are we a band? I was like, yeah. And it took a while because people, like, they didn't get that I didn't want to just jam. Like, I wanted to write songs.
Yeah.
And they were like, what? Like, that's kind of lame. Like, we usually just get together and just, like, hit stuff, you know? And
right now it's time to be intentional.
Yeah. I was like, let's make this work. And they didn't want to make it work, which is understandable. But there's a joy in it that is hard to communicate unless you've done it.
Right.
And then as we were writing songs, it was like, oh man, this is awesome. And then life happens, you know. We've had like multiple stages where we played together all the time and we were always meeting. And then people got jobs that took them away and stuff. And then we reconnected. But you know, we've had tons of gaps basically. And that's kind of where the iterations of The Floor happened, honestly.
Yeah.
We would come back together and I'd be like, so the song's different now. And we'd be like, what? I'd be like, yeah, I think it's better. And they'd be like, what? I think they just kind of came to live with it. And then the second oldest one is the second track that we did, actually, Clarity. That was me and Josh, pretty much. I think we wrote every riff in that.
So how does it feel? This is curious to me. I know how it feels for me. But having something that, like, you wrote or started 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Who knows how long it's been completed.
Yeah.
Or it's probably been completed multiple times.
Yeah, multiple completions.
But how does it feel to have that on the shelf and to finally be like, oh my God, this is coming to a theater near you?
Yeah, it feels great because I can move on, kind of. It's weird because as you write songs, because I never stopped writing, so as you write songs, it's like you feel them. And they're just slowly crushing you. Yeah, it's kind of depressing, but that's really how it is. But then being able to look at one as a completed product, it's like, this is the song now. It's like you're letting it go. It's like it's flying out into the world, and you're like...
It's like raising a child, and now it's time to leave the nest.
Exactly. And it's like I feel that weight. And, you know, I think since it's the oldest one, that weight is more so than my newer songs. Right. And... I've written way too many songs. Like, probably more songs than I will ever actually record.
Yeah.
It's a little bit obscene, but, just wait.
Somebody walking by our window in our little studio here.
Yeah, I was like, what's up?
Skytree Studios.
Skytree Studios.
Come drop in, say hi.
Yeah, we'll probably be here.
Yeah.
Lost my train of thought. But yeah, it feels really good. And I love making weird sounds happen. Yeah. So,
I heard a rumor that Prince recorded a new song every day. Recorded a song every day.
Kind of insane.
Yeah.
And a little self-limiting, but I like the exercise. Because like, what if that one song, all it needed was one more day, and then it would have been the best song ever written?
Well. Yeah, I don't necessarily know if he finished the song every day.
Mm.
It was just something that he did, you know. And I'm sure that probably at the end of the week he looked and maybe he took one song from that whole week and moved forward past the day with it, you know. I'm not quite sure how it worked, but I thought that was interesting. Also, he could play like every instrument, I guess.
Yeah, he was pretty dope.
Yeah.
Not gonna lie. I mean, you mentioned that you'd never recorded heavy music.
Right.
So, I mean, I wouldn't really call what we play metal. We call it, like, post-quasi-folk polka metal.
See,
I don't remember.
Something. How is there polka? I don't get that part.
Well, we haven't shown you that track yet, but we go into this three, 4 thing that's very polka-ish.
You bring an accordion in or what?
Oh, man, I hope so. I hope so.
Yeah. Freaking
amazing.
Yeah, no, I've never recorded, produced, engineered anything like you guys. Yeah, and I used to listen to some, you know, heavier rock music back in the day when I was a teenager. Mostly I listened to hip-hop and R&B, but I did have my, you know, like System of a Down and Tool and even some Marilyn Manson.
Sneaking in there.
Yeah, yeah. I did not want to like Marilyn Manson, but I can't remember what album it was. I just couldn't not like it.
You couldn't stay away?
Yeah. It wasn't necessarily his vocal, but musically what he did, I felt like he brought hard music. There was a lot of creativity, but there was a really appealing vibe. And there was some electronic stuff going on in there, too.
It's and I've liked that for a long time, that marriage of, like, harder, edgier stuff with, like, the more melodic electronic stuff. Yeah.
Rob Zombie. Listen to some Rob Zombie.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, so I did a lot of research, you know, before you guys came in. I know, like, recording techniques, engineering techniques, mix down techniques for different genres are different. Yeah. You know, there's some production styles that are kind of known for certain genres are known for having.
Yeah.
Not that you're, you know, exclusively limited to that, but you know, you can find it a lot. So I wanted to kind of find out, you know, what harder music, what are some of those techniques, what are some of those thoughts, you know, and just listen to more. And so did a lot of that, but honestly, I don't think I've got to tell you guys this, but it's, you know, it'll take time to let it settle and, you know, look back and see how I feel. But right now it's probably one of my favorite projects that I've ever done.
Dope.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm liking it a lot. It's definitely different, which is a nice contrast. Like, I've done a lot of different genres, but even the different genres I've done a lot of. So I think because it's new, that's fresh for me. Yeah. And there's some elements within your guys' songs that are really appealing to the ear.
Yeah.
You know, and my mix approach. And I was telling you and Chris, the lead vocalist, this yesterday, but your guys' vocals, the way they fit together is really cool. And so, yeah, I started off, I'm like, okay, these guitars have to be just enormous, fat, come and hit you in the face. And then the drums have to be right up front, just in your face. And then Chris's bass has got to be chunky, fat, sizzling in your face. And the snare has to smack you in the face. And then the vocals have to cut through. And so I'm really excited about that. And then you get into it and you're like, okay, it's a challenge to make everything fat and in your face.
Yeah, you know? So true.
So,
I mean, I don't know anything about it, but I'm disagreeing with you. For some reason.
Well, I'm sure you guys, I mean, it's similar. Like, if you have band practice and you're like, how do I make, how can I hear everything? You know, I can't.
Yeah, you don't.
Yeah, so.
Which is what leads to the recording day of, you're watching their hand and you're like, that is not musically correct.
Right.
But it's funny because I don't know much theory at all. So one of my band members does, and so I just looked at him and I'm like, Noah, do you see what's happening right now? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, is that right? And he's like, well, let me think about it. And he like thinks about it. And he's like, well, that's probably fine. And I'm like, okay, false alarm, everybody. Let's move on with our lives. Because there's a certain amount. That's the funny thing about heavy music, because there's a certain amount of discordant that's good.
Right.
But if it's too much, it's just noise.
And it's got to be in the right moments too.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can kind of hear the difference. Like, when it's supposed to be there, it's intentional. Like, if it's an accident, it's like the bass hits a wrong note in the middle of a really rhythmic part that's flowing. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So I anticipate learning a whole bunch more, even in the process of mixing a project. because again, you know, I'm just starting to get the layers going, and I want everything fat.
Yeah, juicy.
Yeah,
tender,
and keep the dynamics pretty intense. You know, most of the time, unless there's a bridge or a part that it needs to settle down a little bit. But when you guys are, you know, when it's happening and hitting you in the face, I want the dynamics to pretty much stay at a certain intensity.
Yeah, know? Absolutely.
So, yeah. It was fun.
Yeah.
We put a microphone out in the hallway. So the studio is located in an old school. And so we've got the, you know, the main room all treated, and then we have a vocal booth. But in the hallway is, like I said, it's just an old school. It's made out of concrete, brick, and the hallway's just crazy reverb. Yeah. And so we put a mic out there to just basically like a room mic for the drums. Just
soak it all up.
Yep, soak it all up. Add it into the mix. Dope. So that was fun. I never done that before. That mic we use is actually meant for video broadcasting.
That's awesome, dude.
Yeah. So it was fun. I got to do, you know, I'm still getting to experiment a lot with this.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like you guys have, you know, in a lot of ways I've been given a lot of freedom with the creativity, you know, which is nice.
And we've saved a lot of our weirder ones, too. Like, yeah. Our weirder tracks, we're like, let's hold on to those for a little bit. Don't want to scare them off. Like our polka one. And we've got some weird tracks. Like, this is a little bit far out, but for album two, we have this one track where our what do we call him? Keybist? We call him our keybist. Noah, he's basically just slamming his hands down on the keys. Like, it's coordinated. Like, it's like, this is kind of a chord. Just like, and it's just gnarly. I love it so much. Yeah. So I'm excited to do that one for sure.
Yeah. And we'll keep you guys posted with the releases, or when we get closer to releasing the tracks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be dope.
And so hopefully subscribe, like, follow, whatever format you guys have, whatever subscriber. Or whatever that's called. I don't really know.
Yeah, I don't even know.
And then we'll put the little link to the song underneath, and you can check it out and leave comments
and experience.
Experience. The melt your face off. Yeah, so I think I brought this up before in another session, but you had described your music as like a festering cyst underneath the skin, and your guys's music is the pus it's being the release, released. Yeah.
Yeah. You got to squeeze all the pus out.
Right.
Squeeze the pus out, guys. Squeeze it out. Squeeze it out. If you're hungry, eat it.
Ooh.
Lick it up.
Sick. Do you like to eat that up?
No. Yeah. No. I actually gross myself out just
thinking. Yeah. So yeah, that's nasty. It's gross.
Yeah.
But feels very good.
To release the pressure.
Yeah. Which is crazy. It was cool hearing that story about where you were at 15 writing that song and then Chris bringing that bridge in, you know, it's almost like he was like finally squeezing it to the surface, you know, and bringing some relief.
And it's funny because, you know, I'm 15. He was in his 20s.
Right.
Right. So he was bringing like a more matured long-term perspective to it.
Yeah.
And it kind of follows the whole flow of the album, honestly. Like, that song kind of sums up a lot of the musical flow. Mm-hmm. But you'll experience that when you hear it. So.
Yeah. Awesome. So anything else?
I think... Well, I mean, we could probably keep talking, but I think that's we bullet pointed pretty well.
Yeah. All right. Call it good.
Yeah.
All right. Signing off. Sound Mind. Justin, Awesome Sauce, Stevie D. Enjoy.